from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
It is Fresh Fridays here on the G and Ursula Show. It's the 10 o'clock hour, and ooh-wee, is going to be beautiful today. Good morning, Ursula.
It is. Just a reminder that you can text us on our Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. It has been busy today. 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. And if you have missed any segment of our show, I invite you to listen to our podcast, which is always available about a half hour after the show on any platform that you generally listen to podcasts. You can also catch it on our CHIRO Radio app and on mynorthwest.com. But with that, let's get to it.
What's new at 10?
On Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court is going to be hearing a case that could dramatically change the way our region handles homelessness. And this is something that our reporter, Kate Stone, got excited about. And she joins us live now. Kate, fill us in.
Yeah, so this could actually have major impacts to a lot of local communities. This case is centered around a local law in Oregon that cites homeless people for camping on public property. That's the long and short of it. But a lot of communities in our area, or at least several, including Bellevue, you and Burien, have enacted similar statutes that essentially don't criminalize homelessness per se, but they do criminalize camping on public property. And the Supreme Court, this is the U.S. Supreme Court, is actually going to hear our opening arguments on this on Monday to decide whether camping bans for targeting essentially homeless people violate the U.S. Constitution and the Eighth Amendment against cruel and unusual punishment. Now, there have been some lower federal court rulings that have said, yes, you can't criminalize people simply for being homeless. And now the U.S. Supreme Court is going to offer some clarity on this. Now, city leaders have argued they need a solution to address encampments because they say they are threatening public health and safety. A lot of the COVID era aid programs that were in place during the pandemic have now gone away. And we're seeing a nationwide spike in homelessness. This is not just specific to the Washington area. This is nationwide. And cities and communities are basically saying, we need to do something about this. We need a solution. But the Supreme Court will essentially be deciding how far exactly they can go. Now, the argument from those against these camping bans, like the National Alliance to End Homelessness, they're saying that you can't ban camping or living outside, essentially, without having programs to sort of help people and provide services. And they're saying since those pandemic programs went away, there's been no replacement for them.
It never works. I mean, it hasn't worked for 40 years, and it's not going to work now. It's just going to alienate people more from each other.
But essentially what this does is the Grants Pass case, because this is out of Grants Pass, Oregon. If the Supreme Court does decide against the plaintiffs in Grants Pass, if they decide to roll back what is currently a federal court ruling saying you can't criminalize homelessness, there won't really be any limits on what cities can do to, you know, take measures to ban public camping or, in essence, ban people from sleeping outside altogether.
Okay, so in the case of like the city of Burien, which, you know, we've been talking about a lot,
right,
and there is a dispute over whether that city's ban is constitutional.
Correct.
Or not, would this particular ruling or decision, which wouldn't come immediately,
no,
obviously, have any bearing on that particular case?
It probably would, because the city of Burien created their ordinance with the lower federal court rulings in mind about criminalizing homelessness, cruel and unusual punishment, etc. Now they're in a legal fight with the King County Sheriff's Office, because the King County Sheriff's Office says, according to these lower court rulings, we think that it is unconstitutional. Well, we want a judge to weigh in and tell us whether it's unconstitutional or not, but we don't feel comfortable enforcing this until we know for sure. Now, if the U.S. Supreme Court makes this decision, that could throw all of that out the window. And what that means for the future of Burien's camping ban, unclear at this juncture, because it's not clear how the court will rule. But what's interesting about this is Heather just mentioned in her newscast, the city of Burien is getting $1 million to upgrade an existing shelter for homeless women and families. However, they still don't have a single adult shelter within the city limits of Burien. And the lower court rulings say you have to be able to offer shelter,
right,
if you're going to institute camping bans.
Especially one that is as extensive as Burien's.
Correct.
Is, which which basically leaves almost no place where you can publicly camp.
Right.
But as of right now. But you said Burien is getting some money. There's another King County city that is getting
Tequila.
Money as well.
Tequila
right?
is yeah, so this, also getting
this money.
Some
is
money.
Is coming from King County.
It is coming from King County.
Explicitly for shelter.
They set aside $5 million in December to help with homelessness efforts in South King County. And this is coming out of that funding because of the, in Tequila, it's the asylum seeker crisis that is happening right now where people are living in a climate controlled tent outside of a Tequila church. And so the money is going towards helping kind of address that issue because Tequila has been housing, that Tequila church alone has been housing those people and providing a space for them for 16 months. Right. So King County is trying to help with that. With Burien, they applied for the funding. They were one of the only cities to do so. They are using that funding to upgrade their Mary's Place shelter, but that only applies to women and families. However, if the Supreme Court decides that these lower court rulings about criminalizing homelessness are thrown out the window, then Burien may not have an obligation to create a single adult shelter, which is something that we haven't. They say they have the city leaders have said they want to do, but we haven't seen a lot of traction on that. They got $1 million from King County and the offer of the 35 pallet shelters, but they haven't decided on a site to use that yet.
Right.
So if the Supreme Court decides, you know, to throw all this out, there's really no motivation for them to necessarily do that.
Wow. Well, we will continue to follow this and we will track what goes on in the U.S. Supreme Court. Kate, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Okay, as long as we're talking about housing, G, we should probably talk about rent because there's a brand new report that says 64% of Seattle renters are reporting that their rent has gone up. So 13,000 people report increases less than $100 a month. I think that's doable. But 300,000 people had their rent go up between $100 and $249. And then almost as much, 240,000, let's say that their rent increased by $250 or more a month.
Mm-hmm.
Does this come as a surprise to you?
No.
And what are your thoughts as you hear that?
No. And my thoughts when I hear that is I go back to the discussion that was just had just now about our problems that we have locally, what's going on in Burien and whether or not to criminalize their homelessness in the camps out there. The fact that we don't have places for those that are unhoused to go to. And so here we are. I'm always talking about the hole in the boat. Right. And I'm talking about these things right here. I want to ask this, Ursula, and this is something on the heels of that last conversation that you had. Why is this homelessness crisis? Why is it so bad? And I'm not needing you. I don't have to have you answer that. But why are we where we are today? Why are we constantly talking about so many Americans barely having savings? Why are we talking about people not being able to afford homes? We're talking about rental increases. We're always talking about money, 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 the increase of it. Wages aren't going there. And we're homeless crisis is just getting more. We're allocating money and funds to go towards it. We're doing all of these things. We declared an emergency on homelessness and this crisis. And there's all types of organizations that are trying to help with this. But the real question is, and would get away from the political discussion. Why are we here today? We're here today. This didn't just happen in the last 2 years. It didn't just happen in the last 5 years.
And exacerbated by things in recent years.
Absolutely.
Including inflation.
But this is years upon years of inaction. And I'm talking about 50, 60, 75 years of doing things the wrong way. And so as you get ready to switch gears and try to make better for our next generation, it's going to be uncomfortable discussions. It's going to be people in office that don't understand because they're just used to doing things the old way. And I didn't mean to take this topic on to somewhere else, but you ask me if that shocks me, and the answer is no.
Well,
it doesn't.
Is this from Gene Bulk? These numbers are from
Correct.
Gene Bulk, right?
The U.S.
FYI
Census
guy.
Household
yes.
Poll
so
Survey.
He, yeah, I mean, he does a great job. We give him credit every time he brings up these things because it gives us something to talk about. And basically, it shows that among the 15 largest U.S. metro areas, Seattle ranked second for the share of renters whose rents increased by more than $100 per month in the past year, which says a number of things. One, people still want to live in the city of Seattle. And if you live in the city of Seattle or in surrounding areas, you're going to have to expect, sadly, to see some of the biggest increases. Sadly, although our wages are going up, they're not going up nearly by as much as what we're seeing here. And I know that Chef is about to ask us, well, why are you guys still against rent control or some kind of putting a cap on how much rent can go up?
Because I don't think the problems that we have today are going to be fixed with rent control, right? I think the problems that we have today.
So your solution is to make the hole in the boat bigger.
No, that's not my solution, to make it bigger. My solution is to go after other things that have. I mean, this is again. This is so big of a topic, but it can't stop because it just absolutely just continues. Right. And one of the things I did an event recently, an event that it was Amara is an organization that what they do is they help bring together families within the foster care system, helping out with that. Do you all know that less people are taking in kids because they are having a hard time themselves worrying about if they're going to stay in their homes?
Because their rent is going up. The cost of food is going up. The cost of utilities is going up, but their wages are not going up.
So we have people helping less in this world. Not that we don't have good people. We just have people that's like, hey, I would like to help, but I can't afford to. There's someone listening right now. You can't help do things like you used to before because you're worrying about the cost of living.
Yeah. And before, and the answer to the why don't you support rent control, because I think there's enough evidence to show, too, that rent control has other impacts that end up hurting people also who are renting. But you're right. I think I just wanted to present these facts. Because as we see, as much as you think maybe things are improving, there are areas where if the struggle is going to continue for a while, if we're seeing some of the biggest increases when it comes to rent. Mm-hmm. So that's just something to think about. Okay. Hey, I wanted to squeeze one more story in.
What do you got?
Because when you walk into a Starbucks, do you find yourself saying, can you repeat that, please? Or what'd you say? Okay. It can be loud at Starbucks, but apparently the company is going to be doing something about it.
If your experience at Starbucks is that it's too noisy for a date or a business meeting, take heart. They're doing something about their noise problem. The chain plans to add acoustic foam and dampering baffles to the ceilings of all of their new stores and 1,000 renovated ones. But if you think the problem is yours and yours alone, it isn't. Baristas have complained that background noise levels are so high, they regularly can't hear their customers' orders properly. It's a venti problem. Cooper Lawrence, CBS News.
Had to get some of that Starbucks lingo in there.
So, loud places.
Yeah.
It was the year 2000. My father came out to visit. And I had just moved here in 1999, and one of the favorite places that I loved to eat at was Boca de Beppo's. Right?
Ooh, that's loud. I already know.
Right?
Yes.
I love that place. So I told my dad, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to take you there. It's going to be good. The food. He says, oh, is it good? I said, oh, man, the food is bomb. Right here on Lake, you know, South Lake Union, right? I take him there. We get there. Within 5 minutes, he's like, oh, champ, it's too loud in here for me. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
He says, oh, I don't want to stay here. I says, oh, no, it'll quiet down. So he could not enjoy his food. He complained
so
the entire time. I got mad at my dad because I thought he was being ridiculous. So for years, I talked about it, that experience, making fun of my dad. And I don't know what happened to me. Maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, yo, if it's loud, I don't want to be there.
Yeah. Well, there are more and more restaurants that do that fancy. I don't know what the name is. I'm not an architect. The kind of design where you have the really high ceilings, you have the really hard chairs, you have the cement floors, and it seems like it just gets echoier. I mean, I love
it's going minimalist.
Minimalist,
which means minimal cost of amending the inside of your restaurant.
Holy smokes! So there are places that you hear every clang of the fork, every chomp of the food, every conversation, any it gets so loud that it should be distracting to me. But I think because I've worked in radio most of my life, mm-hmm. I'm definitely losing hearing in one ear. Mm-hmm. And anymore, it's like my comfort. Sure. It's my baseline. And I'm only reminded of how loud places are when other people are with me and they're like, man, can you hear anything?
Mm-hmm. So you know what I don't like? I don't like noise and I don't like bright light.
Is that why you wear the sunglasses?
Mm-hmm. Well, these technically aren't sunglasses. They're
sharp.
They have the tint. But yeah. I don't like bright light. So when your sun is beautiful outside, do you guys get up in the morning and open your blind so it's bright in the house?
After I've had my sleep, yes.
That bothers me. I don't like that.
You like
that.
It? Yeah.
Well, you know why, though?
So chronic noise exposure, you might not realize this, but your body is in constant fight or flight mode. I mean, it actually has negative health impacts. I mean, it over time, you can develop heart disease.
One in eight adults has a hard time hearing without a hearing aid. I'm someone who has hearing loss in one of my ears, probably like 20%
left. My left ear.
And there are certain restaurants I go into and I'm like, I guess I'm just not going to participate in the conversation today. You know? And we don't talk about like how isolating that can be for a lot of people who struggle with hearing loss.
It's true. Oh, you want to know what else we don't talk about? In Europe, the European Union actually has a noise directive. They actually have rules about noise and they have general guidance about how communities need to start paying attention to noise and mitigate when there's noise pollution. But we don't have that in this country.
Because that's communism.
Apparently in 1970s, there was a program. I just started kind of going down the road because there's just too much noise pollution in my life. And some of you may have kids who are very noise sensitive. I remember our oldest son. He was so noise sensitive. So, I mean, it just all his senses were very sensitive. But especially when it came to noise. And Stephen would open, like we'd go into Northgate Mall, open the door to Northgate Mall. And just the assault on his earbuds, opening the door of a mall. It was like, he couldn't go in.
Oh, wow.
That's changed. You can work toward fixing that.
Okay.
But
right.
There's a problem.
All right. Still ahead. It's the G and Ursula Show.
This hour of the G and Ursula Show is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors.
The Mariners Kids Club is 100% free and a great way to get your kids excited for a lifetime of Mariners baseball. Sign up online and your youngster will receive a Kids Club hat, access to early gate opportunities, discounts, and more. Go to mariners.com/kidsclub to join.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the G and Ursula Show. It is a fresh Friday, so this segment is for you with the idea that, you know what, it is fresh and we want you to be involved. So, question for you. If you are married, if you had a chance to do it all over again, would you make the same choice? So they say that familiarity breeds contempt, but there is a new survey of married folk that seems to prove the opposite.
Would you marry your spouse again if you had it all to do over? Reddit wanted to know, so they asked users on their marriage thread and found happily 89% responded with a resounding yes. They would definitely choose their partner again. Some commented saying they've only seen their partner change for the better over the years. Others said they wouldn't change a thing. The responses were from couples who'd been together for a few years to over 40. Cooper Lawrence, CBS News.
I like it. It's an optimistic survey. Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. We keep you anonymous. 888-973-5476. 888-973-CHIRO. How would you answer that question? So just a little bit more on this survey. Two-thirds would enthusiastically marry their spouse today. They say growing together, being great partners and parents, say they feel lucky to have found their match. Mm. There was one who said, I'm 52. My husband's 68. We've been married 28 years. I would absolutely marry him again. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite daydreams is trying to figure out how I could have met him earlier so we could be together even longer.
That's good. First, I want to say this. I don't believe that study. It said 89%. I don't believe it. That's number one.
I know. That's why I want to engage our Cairo radio
the reason,
listeners.
Because, now, why don't I believe it? Because it doesn't match up with the divorce rate. Mm-hmm. Like, not even close. So, while I don't believe it, I'll answer it. Yeah, I would marry my spouse again. I think that one of the things that we don't do is we don't recognize who we are ourselves well enough, oftentimes. And so sometimes you got to get to the point where you know yourself, because the more you know yourself, I think the better your relationship can be. Yeah, sure. It's, but what about your spouse? Of course, your spouse is important too. But sometimes we have folks that don't recognize who they are. And what I'm saying by that is it might maybe a different job, maybe different circumstances, and it might bring out a different person in you. So it is good to recognize who you are. But that's my question. How about you, Ursula?
Well, of course I would. I mean, I've been married over 30 years now, and I thank my lucky stars every single day. Does that mean marriage is easy? No. Some of these answers, though, of those who said no, they wouldn't do it over again. This person says, no way in heck, used a different word, been married nearly 18 years. If I knew he was going to need me to be his mother and fail to keep a decent job and gain 100 pounds, I would have run for the hills. Another person says, sadly, no, not if I knew how I'd feel with this person years down the road. In hindsight, things that seem like they'd be problematic will only get worse. And you definitely can't make someone change their ways no matter how hard you try. That is one of the biggest mistakes people do. It's thinking they're going to change someone after they get married.
Yes.
You cannot. It's very hard to change unless someone's willing to make that change and willing to do the hard work. Yeah. But some of the things that make a happy marriage, what makes a happy marriage to you? Because there are people who answered this, and I agree with many of these things.
What's the number one answer?
Have a joint bank account. And then it says also have a separate bank account.
The stash.
I think one of the things that's worked for us is we have a joint bank account, mm-hmm. and then we also have our own separate bank accounts.
Well, I'll say this, and you guys can look this up. Some of the biggest reasons why divorce does happen is because of finances.
Oh.
And it's basically lack thereof.
Lack thereof or disagreement on how they should be handled,
right.
For sure.
Right. So when you have those things happen, not to say that being comfortable, being okay financially is the key to a great marriage, because we all know that you can be comfortable with money and have a bad marriage. But I will say the stress that comes from not bringing in money can bring in a whole lot of stress on a lot of couples and relationships. So that increase in rent, that's an extra $100, or that increase at the grocery stores and gas and all those things, all of a sudden financially you're a little tight and it calls for problems. It seems like our entire text line, except for one, has came in. One came in with just a flat out nope. But our entire text line is coming in.
They would do it again. Don't you love that, though? See, there you go. So be optimistic and supportive. That's another one. Only argue over solvable issues. Split up the chores. Equal power. Research shows that when the balance of power between partners is off, the relationship is most likely to go sour. Relationship maintenance. I think that's a huge thing, especially when you have young kids. The first thing that goes is your relationship with your partner, because you are just hyper-focused on your kids. I remember that when we would finally, Mark and I would finally go out, and then our conversation would be all about the kids.
Mm. We have to do like a cut it off.
Yes.
At a certain point, cut it off.
After a while, it's like, okay, why don't you let's talk about our dreams, not about our dreams for our kids only.
You know what I think is highly underrated when it comes to marriage success is shared values.
Oh my God, that's huge.
What I mean by shared values is, like, do you have the same financial values? Do you spend money the same way? Do you have the same saving priorities? Religious beliefs is one. Family values. How important is it for you to see your family or to spend time with your in-laws' family? Like, what do you believe about work-life balance? What do you believe about personal ambition? What do you believe about parenting and how to parent your kids, or your political beliefs? Like, or attitudes towards health and wellness. Like, some people are, you know, it is a value of mine to stay fit. And, like, I can never respect the fact that my partner put on 10 pounds. Like, those kind of values that you have in common with your partner, those really carry you through.
If you get worked up about your partner gaining 10 pounds...
Just giving you an example.
You're gonna be
rough ride.
I don't know. That one. Okay. The other thing is time. A study of couples married for at least 15 years found that marriage grows easier and more fun with age. People married 35 years or plus display more tenderness than younger couples.
Here's that. All right. I'm just looking through these scenarios, and someone writes in and says, their girlfriend's arch enemy at work is their ex. So we'll talk about that next, Gene Ursula.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Scenarios is brought to you by 1-800-DUI-AWAY.
It is Scenarios. Let's go.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
My girlfriend has been talking about another woman at her new job. She picks on her all the time. All I have heard about her the last 2 months is this annoying girl named, can't say it. My girlfriend always says, what kind of guy would hook up with a girl like that? She'll never get anyone. She's going to be one of those ladies that's just lonely forever, a single at an old age. I have never met anybody my girlfriend works with until now. The other day, they had department photos taken. She brought home a picture of the whole team she works with, and there it was. Yes. This was a girl that I had dated and had been with a few times a few years ago. We were never a serious item, but we were an item for a little bit. So I'd ignore it and ensure I never show up at her work. But now there's a work party on a boat and spouses and partners are invited. I'll be meeting my girlfriend's coworkers. My question is this: should I tell my girlfriend that I hooked up with her before? Do I think that her coworker, who's the one that I hooked up with before, will say anything to my girlfriend when she sees me? Or do I think that the person at her job will say anything? Either way, I feel like I'm screwed. If my girlfriend finds out that I was with her, she will be devastated and may break up with me. What do I do? 888-973-5476 is the Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. Ursula, you up to bat first.
I'm suspicious about this story. I'm thinking that the girlfriend knows that they dated. And I say that because she's specifically targeting this one woman. And I'm wondering if she's trying to get the boyfriend to say something about this particular woman.
Right.
The fact that they have dated, now he's seen her picture. I'm of the mindset, and I know I'm going to be in the minority, but I am of the mindset that I would say, oh, you've been talking about this woman? I got to be honest. I dated her back in XYZ.
No. You're not in the minority.
Oh, okay.
Uh-uh. I'm with you. No. I'm with you.
Yeah, because now that you see it and
as soon as you realize that's the one, boom. My father used to say, champ, don't give poop people the broom to hit you with.
I know. Because you're lying by omission.
Man, you're, boom, say something right there.
You look at it. Yeah, you look at the picture and you say,
yep.
I actually dated her. And that way it's not awkward. That way she might have to either change how she talks about that woman, or she's going to ask you a bunch of questions about that woman.
Because
But it also is telling to me, I don't know.
No,
I think it speaks to the character of this woman that he's dating currently. When you talk about other people, why are you fixating on that woman?
Because folks talk about other people all the time.
Yeah, and she's shallow.
Yeah,
she's super shallow.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, nobody's going to talk about...
Becky's so annoying. Gosh, nobody's ever going to date her.
Why would anyone date
okay,
her?
Okay, pick me, girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on. Your girlfriend is annoying, and you have no obligation to tell your partner about anyone that you were with in the past. That's ridiculous.
Yes, you do.
Like, you're talking about lies of omission? By that logic, you would have to tell your partner about every single person that you've been with.
No, you don't. You got to tell her about that. You see that in the picture, and you don't want your girlfriend.
You don't want your girlfriend
to get blindsided.
Yes,
Have you ever had someone tell you about someone that they were with, and it made you like immediately lose all respect for them? I have. Not currently, but I have.
I will tell you for long as we're being super honest about things. I used to ask my boyfriends about their previous.
Well,
I know about Mark's previous.
That's the Ursula thing to do. That is so on brand for Ursula. No, my goodness, Ursula.
You know, they have the option of saying none of your business, but that's not what they chose to do.
No, you have to say something. And you know what? It's interesting. You said something a second ago, Ursula. That's how women are. No, I don't want to go sweep and save me. That's how some women can be. They're like the court of law. They'll ask you a question or say some things they already know the answer to. You could be getting set up, bro. Because sometimes...
I know someone like this.
Sometimes they investigate some stuff. They find it out, and they want to see, oh, my goodness. So this girl at work, she's awful. Her name's this and that.
That's what I said. I'm suspicious about the whole thing.
Here, check out the company photo. And she sees it. You see it. Oh, you didn't say nothing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's building a profile on
you.
Exactly.
Now you're a liar.
Nah.
Not only
soon
do
as you
have bad taste, but you're a liar.
Soon as you see that picture. Now, what you're doing is, you're one thing about it, she don't want to look stupid. So if you put her in a situation to look stupid, so all of a sudden she's at work and your coworker's like, oh yeah, you see so-and-so's man? Oh, let me tell you about the time. And then everybody at your work is talking about how they was with that man and you the only one don't know. You want your girlfriend to be in that situation? No, you don't want that. You better tell them.
Well, you could put this off all you want in this case, but if you stay with this woman throughout her career changes, including this chapter, there might be some common encounters she has with some of your past, whether it's at work or even a friend of a friend of a friend. It truly is a small world, and work can get around quick with the common people known. Want to go to the boat party? That's great, but get the word out about your ex before she's asking at the party who this coworker is talking about you and your past dates. She has a point. She might be playing coy. G's right, knowing what's going on all along. So let the truth out quick.
So, hey, hold on. Ernie and Kent text in and says, that doesn't seem like you, Ursula. You seem much more confident in yourself. First of all, let me answer that. I get to answer this one. Ursula's very confident in herself. I mean, no doubt about it. There's no insecurity issues with Ursula. But boy, when it comes to being nosy, and it comes to just asking extra questions, Ursula's that friend. Like, you can't
tell Ursula a story.
You know how you just tell your friends a story, and then you might have that one friend that just hangs on every word, like, oh my goodness. Ursula wants to get to the bottom your story.
Exactly. What makes life interesting.
Let me tell my story, Ursula. Quit doing follow-up questions. Wait a minute. I'm trying to put this together because, gee, this didn't make sense. Because you said you started off here.
Yes, the whole timeline.
So if you're listening right now, you're like, man, gee seems like he's got some, he got triggered. I am. I'm triggered. Ursula just be asking questions. Do you like her? Ursula, did you really have to ask that? Yes. And she does it with a straight face.
Because I'm genuinely interested. I will also say that in my defense, yeah, it's part. I got to get the scoop. Yes, Jimothy. Yes, it's part of my job as being a journalist. Also, I didn't date a lot. I dated long term. I dated two other people long term before I married my husband. So sometimes I also want to live vicariously through others.
It's a fresh Friday now.
Can I ask this? When you ask the question, and I'm not just, this is a blanket question. Like, when you ask, like, who you've been with, do you also ask how many times, or do you also ask?
Oh, good grief.
We got to go.
That's right. We're not going there.
Okay.
I ask what's appropriate. How's that? Just enough.
But do you ask follow-up questions?
Yes.
Okay. Agree to disagree comes up next. Gino.